drive to far side, Johnny scores! Mark Savard! The Boston Bruins are back in it!
He's made, going in on goal, he shoots, he scores! Tays up with Pavlat Arano. Go right on the check right to the goal. He scores! A spectacular goal by 20-year-old Jonathan Tays. You won't see any better than that.
Gabrick moves in. He scores! Marion Gabrick steps it home.
Here's Van Riemsdyk. Off the wall with it. Backhander, he scores! There's your answer. James Van Riemsdyk. To the outside, takes his own pass. Marchand along in front. Score!
And now it's time for the Blue Line on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your host, Rob Strauss and John Flacco.
Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco, as usual, for the, I believe this is the 12th installment of the Blue Line dating back to last year. And we've had about a week and a half to digest the beginning of the NHL season. And I don't know how excited you were to watch the first set of games, John, but I was pretty excited.
Yeah, it was nice to have hockey back, especially with the time frame we're having games. You know, there's always a game on, always a good game on, actually, to watch. So that's good.
I was watching the game on the NHL Network last night. It was the Boston-Carolina game in Carolina. Now, normally on any other non-strike shortened season, would I really be sitting around watching Boston and Carolina in Carolina on a Monday night?
No,
probably
not.
But I was peeled to it, and I just couldn't stop watching it. And it was a very, very good game. Boston wins with a goal in the last couple minutes of the game. It's just great to be able to watch any game that you want. And because of the condensed schedule, you're getting a quality game pretty much every single night.
Yeah, it really is working out that way. That's the one good upside of the shortened season.
And I think we talked about this a little bit last week of how much the condensed schedule would mean for how important each and every single game is going to be from here on out until the middle of April when the regular season finally comes to a close. But, I mean, just evaluating the first 5 to 6 games that each team has played, I really think that there's still a lot of rust, but it's still somewhat competitive hockey. You're not seeing a lot of sloppy play as much as I thought I would see. You're still seeing some good hockey.
Yeah, I think guys who are playing elsewhere for a variety of other places, a variety of other reasons, there's enough of them there to kind of sustain. I think where you're seeing it is, and you're going to see it is in back-to-back games, the stamina of teams. I don't think that's there yet. But as far as skill-wise, I think you're seeing most of the players skill-wise are where they need to be in the first couple weeks of the season anyway.
And I agree with you there, and I really think that it's been more of a more competitive edge. And I think the players are starting to realize, hey, we need to show up early or we're not going to be in the playoffs. We can't go on a 4-game, 5-game losing skid and expect to make the playoffs, because that's really, really gonna hurt them come late March, early April. So, the big question is, how much damage did the NHL really do to their fan base with this whole lockout strike extravaganza? I tend to think that they still have quite a bit of work to do, and they've angered me as a diehard NHL guy. I'm happy it's back, but to me, it's still kind of an open wound for me.
Yeah, I think you're going to really find out where they stand when it comes around playoff time. See how the playoff numbers match up to where they were last year. Because they really were moving in the right direction. They had a really good opening rounds of the playoffs last year, a lot of upsets. And I think that really carried the season. A lot of new teams in there, not the same old teams and the same old faces. And that did a lot of good. So we'll see when they get back to that point whether people are, you know, enthused enough to kind of hook back on or not. I think the big hockey towns are not going to suffer all that much. It's the fringe hockey towns, or places where hockey is not, you know, part of the regular vernacular of youth clubs and youth organizations, where you're going to see,
like, Phoenix.
That Phoenix would be one of them. Yes, they would. Maybe Dallas.
Dallas is kind of one of those weird towns NHL wise for me. When they're good. You know, you go back to the late 90s with Eddie Belfour and Brett Hull and Joe Nieuwendyk. And when they made their cup run, that was just a phenomenal. Yeah,
but
place
they
was,
were still the North Stars then. They weren't really the Dallas Stars.
When did they come over from the North Stars and into Dallas? That had to be in the 80s.
Yes, it
late
was.
Late 80s.
It was.
So technically, they've been in Dallas for about two decades.
Yeah, now they have, yeah.
And you know, I don't put them in the same category as being a starving NHL city like Nashville or
I don't
Florida
think
or Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I don't think financially you see it, but I think as far as the fan base, you're not having kids playing hockey, watching hockey games in Dallas necessarily. I think it's still more of
a football, basketball kind of town.
I mean, East Texas, that's a high school football, you know, college football.
Yep.
Although I hear Dallas Cowboy games are not, they're not football fans. It's more of a corporate thing. It's a place to be seen, kind of like a Miami basketball game, more so than
like L.A., like a Lakers game.
Yeah. Well, anybody in L.A. is just going to be seen.
Right.
There's no sports fans in L.A. That's why there's no football teams in L.A. It has been that way for years.
And you'd like to think that the NHL could possibly contract some of these teams and take maybe two teams out of each conference and make a little bit more, and that's been going around a lot. There's a lot of teams that are on the bubble, so to speak, right now, and Phoenix being that name being tossed around a lot. The Islanders in the East, you can also make a bid for Nashville, who was, you thought that they were going to be in dire straits financially if they didn't re-sign Suter, and now that they have his humongous contract, they better produce or they're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I don't see contraction happening, especially since after all the negotiations with this lockout. I think if they really wanted to do that, that would be part of the discussions in all of this.
I just thought it was weird how Winnipeg just like up in the middle of the night it left Atlanta, a la the Baltimore Colts of the early 80s, just picked up and said, you know what, we're out of Atlanta. Let's go to Winnipeg. It's sure there's 4,000 less seats, but let's just move in there, and they fit in because
they weren't filling those seats in Atlanta. That's for sure.
No, they weren't, and it's nice to see Winnipeg off to such a good start. They're 3-1-1 right now. It's nice to see them off to such a good start because I think that's truly a team that got robbed of their NHL team and got taken to a market where I don't think any sport survives well in Atlanta. And you can make an argument for more recently the NFL. You know, with the Falcons going to the championship game of the NFC. And I never really thought of Atlanta as being a real big hotbed for consistent sports.
Falcons fans are fair weather fans. They'll show up when the team is good, but when they're bad, you won't see them.
Yeah, it's a
and they're not talking about the Falcons. They're talking about the Braves in Atlanta.
Yeah, and they should be. And but that's another show for another time. Yeah. But it is nice to see Winnipeg, the ex-Atlanta Thrashers team move up there and get off to a pretty good start. And I think the impact of the strike on everybody's play has been kind of off and on. You're starting to see a lot, at least early on, a lot of penalties being taken for things that a lot of those holds and those the hooks and things like that, where the players aren't really conditioned yet, so their last resort is to take that penalty to kind of prohibit the breakaway or the odd man rush or something like that. So I think it's going to take a while for them to get back up to speed. Now, granted, a percentage of these players were playing overseas during the lockout, but it wasn't everybody. It wasn't a mass exodus where everybody went. I mean, it was a few players probably from each team, maybe a handful of players from each team went over and played overseas. So I think it's going to be a little while before they really get back up to speed.
Well, an interesting thing to watch is to look at, just look at the injuries updates for the league. Right now you have a couple teams like Edmonton, Florida, and Philadelphia where the numbers are, you know, just piling up. And if you look at some of the other teams, you know, everybody's got at least one on there. But, you know, watching that's going to be an indication of how the season goes. You have teams start piling up injuries. We'll see how that affects them overall in such a short season.
And we'll get to injuries in another segment, in the next segment, actually. More notably, the Flyer report, which will, you know, we always do here on the Blue Line. Injuries to Hartnell, Mazaros, but we'll touch on that in a few minutes. But I think you're starting to see a lot more injuries now because they're not up to game speed. But overall, I think the play has been good. But the big question still remains, have they won their fan base back yet? Or is this something where they took, like I said last week, did they take two steps forward since the last lockout and then they just took three steps backwards with this more recent lockout of the first half of games, roughly?
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to tell at this point. In the next couple of weeks, we'll kind of indication. I think once football goes away for good and we get that lull in sports where there's, you know, there's no football, there's no baseball. Baseball hasn't started
NBA
yet.
And college basketball.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, if there's not a big college basketball matchup or it's not an NBA, big NBA night, you're going to see whether or not people are watching hockey or not.
But I like what the NHL, I don't know if they did this on purpose or if it's just by happenstance that they got together and they decided, you know, let's make a rivalry night. And I believe that's every Wednesday night. I think the combination of the NBC Sports Network and the NHL Network get together and they host rivalry night, and where you have your Flyers Rangers or you have your Toronto Montreal or Tampa Bay Florida or something like some of those big matchups. I think it's good for the sport.
Well, they can do it in this short season because there's no crossover to the other conference this year, so they're happening more often.
How many games, speaking of crossover, we go back next year to the regular 82-game schedule. Should they consider, and this wouldn't happen under this CBA, obviously, but should they consider less crossover to the West and more emphasis on, you know, just focusing on the importance of the playing your division and your conference?
I don't know. I think it makes sense financially for a lot of teams, especially in the Northeast, where you're greatly reducing travel by doing that. But then again, you got teams like Winnipeg. They're traveling no matter who they're playing. So it's not going to help them a whole lot, Vancouver, Winnipeg.
Well, they can't help that because that's just, you know, how the cookie crumbled on that one, because they moved back to the city in which they came. That's when they finally go to restructure the divisions and the conferences, which I think they're not too far. I don't know if they can do that under this CBA.
I think that would have to be negotiated outside the contract if they wanted to do it. Since we have an 8-year, I don't think they're going to put everything aside.
Yeah, because you look at the map, and Winnipeg is like the square peg trying to go in the round hole.
Yeah.
In terms of an Eastern Conference, per se.
Well, I don't know. Who would they be able to move in order to do that?
Technically, you could possibly move a team like Columbus.
Columbus or Nashville.
Nashville.
Right?
Yeah. Any one of them. Maybe you could even stretch out and say maybe Chicago, but Chicago's always been a Western Conference team, so you really, I don't know if
and
you
could. Really, you're not moving an original six team.
No. Yeah. No, you're leaving that alone. So, I mean, that's a... I just think, overall, I'm so excited that the NHL is back, and I know a lot of their diehard fans are. I don't know about the casual fan. I think that's what, to sum this whole segment up, I don't know if the casual fan has been bought back yet. And I don't think, of course, they're going to get me and you, and the diehards that will listen to our program here on the Blue Line, they'll get them back. But will they get back the casual person who goes to 3 or 4 games a year and is sort of a Flyers fan or sort of a Rangers fan or sort of a whoever fan come April or May?
Yeah, I think it's hard to tell that now. Like I said, we're in areas where people still like hockey, so hockey is being discussed on the radio and papers. But you'd be curious to see how much interplay there is in Dallas and, like you said, in L.A., especially in L.A., considering they won last year. I mean,
and off to a slow start, too, by the way.
That's not a surprise to me.
No, let's see. The Stanley Cup win hangover kind of thing. It's I was really impressed, though, with the Flyers getting the nationally televised game to open the season against the Penguins. Now, granted, it wasn't the outcome that most Flyers fans would have liked. However, they did pack that arena like it was jam-packed, 19,000 strong. In that arena for that game, and it was a nationally televised game along with two other games. And let me put this out there. I don't know how much you watched of that, but the game was supposed to come on at 3 o'clock, wound up not coming on to about 3:40 because they showed a half hour's worth of the LA Kings getting their rings and raising the banner and stuff. To me, not a great way to start the NHL season in terms of especially in this area.
Yeah, I don't understand the importance of having everyone watch a game starting at 3 and then move to local games a half hour in.
Think of how Devils fans are reacting to that. They're going to watch their hockey, and they get to watch a team that beat them in the Stanley Cup Final get their rings and raise a banner.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be too happy about that.
Yeah, I think if you're going to do that, make it a doubleheader or you know, show the first period of a game and then move to your local game or something like that. But
or show it during intermission.
And they really didn't put it out there that that's the way that was going to go. A lot of people didn't know what people were like freaking out, thinking the game wasn't going to be on. Everybody was stuck watching L.A. So that got to be a little tough.
That's something they should have put out. Again, another black eye to the NHL and their PR in an era now where they have to really be very delicate with and catering more to the NHL fan now that they would had they not gone on strike.
Well, the funny thing about that, and just to show you how this works, I listened to the Holmgren on the radio, and the guy asked him about the start of the season, started against the Penguins. He goes, I haven't heard that officially, so if you guys are saying it, you know more than me that must be true. So Holmgren didn't even officially know when the season started. The press knew before he did.
Yeah. So that'll wrap up our first period here from the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We're going to get back from the break, talk a little some leagues, some teams that are off to a very, very hot start both in the Western and Eastern Conference. And we also have a special cameo appearance by another one of Sterling's finest right here on the Blue Line. You're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio, back with the second period right after this.
Come join the local youth every Sunday night at Stratford United Methodist Church on the corner of Union and Central Avs. The youth group is a rapidly growing group, and they would love to have you. The group consists of 7th to 12th graders and meets every Sunday night from 7 to 9 at the church. Come join us weekly for crazy games, live music, biblical life lessons, and some great snacks. Join now so you don't miss out on upcoming camping trips, scavenger hunts, swim parties, and more. For more information, contact Stratford Church at 784-9135. Or Jared Claiborne at 856-287-0717.
Do you play an instrument but don't get enough practice time? Do you want to learn how to play an instrument? Then join the Sterling High School Concert Band. They are in dire need of low brass and saxophone players. However, everybody is welcome to join. It is a great character building experience and an even better way to experience music in a new life. They perform several times a year, including a winter concert in December, a spring concert in May, and they take various trips throughout the year performing for the community. Rehearsals take place during Zero Block and Access every day. For more information, please see Mr. Steve Goldbeck in the band room or contact your guidance counselor. This message has been brought to you by Sterling High School Concert Band and WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
Love the thrill of watching sports, keeping stats, broadcasting live events? If so, WSHS Sterling High School Radio is looking for student sports directors. As a student sports director, you will get to learn to keep stats and records, help set up broadcast live events while getting a great view of the game. Students will also record and edit sports promos to be aired on WSHS. For more information, stop by room 402 or contact station manager Rob Strauss at wshs.radio@gmail.com. Sterling High School Radio, the exclusive home for live coverage of Sterling Athletics.
Hi, this is Tim Saunders, radio voice of the Philadelphia Flyers. You're listening to The Blue Line right here on WSHS, Sterling High School Radio.
And welcome back to The Blue Line right here on WSHS, Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco and now a special guest, Sterling's finest phys ed teacher, Chris Hoffman. Everybody, Chris Hoffman joining us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And a diehard Flyers fan.
Yes.
And when we were getting ready for this segment today, he was very, very excited. He's like, I didn't get my invite. Well, it's an open invite. Anytime you want to join us, you're more than welcome to join us here on the Blue Line. We'll actually talk a little Flyers for you.
Strauss is now outnumbered 2-1.
I am that. Yeah, this is not good for me. This does not bode well for me. I don't like this. I'm not a big fan. We'll start off with the Flyer Report in honor of Mr. Hoffman joining us here. Slow start by the Flyboys a little bit. Losses to Pittsburgh, Buffalo, New Jersey, and Tampa, but a big win when they probably needed it the most against the Rangers last weekend, and then the blowout win of Florida. But, you know, guys, it was a must-win situation. I think Wayne Simmonds said that it's a must-win against the division rival Rangers, who had their number all last season.
Yeah, I think one thing was Lundqvist had their number. They hadn't won a game last season against them. They were facing a couple injuries, so they really needed to come together in that game. And a couple guys stepped up in that sense. I think you're looking at the overall schedule, though. The teams that they've lost to are teams that are – some of the teams are doing well in the league, even Buffalo included. So we'll see how that kind of hashes out as we go through the beginning of the season. I think the biggest concern, though, is going to be not just a slow start, but if the injuries affect them getting back in the race.
I would agree with that. I mean, you being a season ticket holder?
No, actually, my first game is this Saturday against Carolina.
Oh, you have a partial plan?
Yep. Nice. My cousin has the tickets, and I buy like 5-6 games a year.
Now, being a season ticket holder, and we just got through talking about this in the last segment, what was your take on the whole strike? Being a season ticket holder, were you mad? Were you disappointed, upset? You know, what was your take on the whole situation?
Well, basically, just being a sports fan in general, when you see these things happen in any league, it's frustrating for the fans because we have nothing to do with it. Particularly with the NHL one, I thought one of the problems I had with it was that they were making money. And when they had the lockout in 2004, they had goals, and the goals were met by this new CBA, by the CBA. But that wasn't enough for the owners, and it wasn't enough for the players. And again, we missed half a hockey season.
Your impression on the start so far? About what you thought, or is this typical Flyers Nation, or is it?
I was a little worried coming into the season. Even with the big win on Thursday night, you have to look at the fact that the Rangers played the Bruins the night before.
Yep.
Overtime game. I know the Rangers really spent a lot of their key players in the third period in overtime. They cut their bench down. So coming into Thursday, they were tired, and you could see that they had heavy legs, especially at the beginning of the game. Then as the game went on, they started getting better, especially that third period. The Flyers held on. And then moving into Saturday, Florida's just not a very good team. So, yeah, we've got to take that for what it is. And then the next night you saw what happened with Tampa Bay when they did play a good team. So I'm very concerned about the Flyers even making the playoffs this year.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Where is the missing link? Where? I mean, you look at their team. Sure, you're losing. You just lost Hartnell for an extended period of time, 4 to 8 weeks roughly. And also Mazzaro's out for at least a month. And so now you're looking at two of your key guys, one of your key offensive players, and also your key defenseman, out. And your goaltending's still very, very suspect, even though it is Briz's sophomore campaign.
What I'm looking at overall from the Flyers is that, A, you're going to miss Matt Carl. You really didn't replace his 20 minutes a game. Played well, I thought, against the Flyers the other night. But I think the Flyers, they're going to be searching for this year and possibly next year to try to replace Chris Pronger, which just is not going to happen.
Now he's still on the roster, but he's technically on injured reserve, so they can't He hasn't officially said anything yet. And so it's a Monday.
Well, yeah, the reason why that is because if he retired this year, his number against the cap will be higher than it is now as a player.
It's all financial.
Yeah, it's all financial. Yeah. So I'm sure they've talked to him and tried to work that out to keep the team kind of going financially. And they'll probably take care of him in the back end after he's retired, give him a job in the organization, something like that, to kind of make up for he's still getting paid, so. But I think it's a number against the cap that matters as far as – because there's no way he's coming back.
I mean, you look at Briz's stats, 2-3 with a 9.23 save percentage and a 2.21 goals against average. Overall, not horrible numbers.
Yeah. I mean, his first couple games, they just couldn't score at all.
Yeah.
And we've seen them score more lately, but now I think the deficiencies you see is are on the defense.
I think I could have scored against Florida the other night. I mean, they just – I don't know if it was Florida. I couldn't believe that Jose Theodore was even still in the league. That's one of the things that blew my mind. He's bounced around to so many teams. I mean, he made his number in Montreal, and he had those good years in Montreal, and then kind of fell off the map a little bit. Went over to Washington and was pretty okay there, and then now he's down in Florida. Really, really surprised about the offensive outburst that the Flyers really had on that one.
Well, we were saying before, one of the reasons is Versteeg has been out with a groin injury. Actually, had surgery in the offseason, so he wasn't quite ready to come back. So I think Theodore was a stopgap then for him. So now that Versteeg is back, you'll see Versteeg and Clemenson, and you won't see Theodore anymore.
Well, Versteeg had such a good year last year coming from Toronto in the trade. It was either a free agent acquisition or it was a trade from the Flyers. Because Toronto sent him to the Flyers, and the Flyers got rid of him and sent him down to Florida. So he was a pretty nice addition for them, especially for their very, very short playoff run where they took the eventual Eastern Conference champion New Jersey Devils to 7 games, believe it or not. That one blew my mind, too. I think, again, we were only right on, what, 2 predictions last season?
Our playoff predictions were not great.
That was not good at all. We're not going to talk about that, though. That's our third period. Stick around for that. That's our prediction segment where we visit this back in probably like June and we make fun of ourselves. But a slow start by the Flyers, and hopefully they're looking to right the ship. They have the Rangers again tonight, but this time up at MSG. So that'll be a very, very big game for the Flyers. I think anything inside their own division is going to be big this year. Seeing how they only have one win, and that's against the Rangers right now. And Rangers were off last night. The Flyers have been off since the weekend, so both teams should be pretty rested. It should be pretty good tilt tonight. Some of the other teams that are off to the opposite start of the Flyers, some hot teams right now. We'll start off in the Western Conference, the Sharks and the Hawks. Extremely hot start out in the Western Conference. The Sharks off to an undefeated mark at 5-0, as well as the Chicago Blackhawks 6-0 to start the season. And what can you say? These are two perennial teams that have been in the mix for like probably the last 5-6 years, and just still doing their thing.
I think with Chicago, what you're seeing is, and I've seen a couple interviews with Patrick Sharp and Kane, and they've kind of rededicated themselves to getting back to where they were the Stanley Cup year. So the talent is there with Chicago. With San Jose, I think it's a little more of a surprise because you've got some older guys who are doing things that they haven't done in a few years. So that's a little bit more of a surprise to me. Chicago's not so much a surprise given what these guys have kind of dedicated themselves to doing. I think that talent has always been there. I think they've underachieved in the past couple of years, where the Sharks, I think they're really overachieving. I would have put them as a playoff team going into the season.
Mark this down on your calendars, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday, February 5th, the Sharks are hosting the Chicago Blackhawks.
There you go.
So there's
Soon
one
enough.
If you want to take some Red Bull and stay up all night. it'll be a very, very dreary Wednesday morning.
That'll be a West Coast game.
That's a 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern bedtime for all of us back here in the East. But that should be a pretty good game if you want to stay up for that one. And the big story, obviously, player-wise between those two teams is the play of Patrick Marleau. 9 goals, 4 assists, and he's a +6 in just the 5 games that they have played. So he's off to an absolutely ridiculous start. And I think we were looking up his stats early. He's 33 years old, first-round draft pick back in the 97 entry draft. He's been a Shark his entire career. So he is really, really just kind of tearing up. But San Jose has always been one of those teams who's really, really good in the regular season and then completely disappears in the postseason.
Well, if you look at the top five scorers in the league, it's Thornton and Marlowe tie for first, and you got St. Louis, and then there's Pavelski at four with 10 points. So, you know, there's where it's coming from. They're just scoring a lot of goals. So we'll see how their defense and their goaltending holds up as we can move through the year.
They have the second best offense in the league, and they have the best defense in the league, only allowing second best goals against in the league, only allowed 8 goals in 5 games. They are behind the New Jersey Devils, who have only allowed 7 goals all season. How's that make you feel there, Flacco?
Well, the Devils, you expect that because they all they want to do is score quickly and then sit on a lead. And they've been doing that their whole entire existence.
Since the mid-90s, yeah.
But that's not the kind of defense that comes to mind when I think about the San Jose Sharks. No, you're right.
And who they have in net?
I think they have some guy named Bobrovsky, I think.
No, Bob.
Bob's in Columbus.
Bob's in Columbus. Yeah.
That would be – who is their goalie?
That's a fantastic question. That is a great question, actually, as I feverishly look this up. I'm going to look up who their netminders are. I believe you have Antti Niemi.
Oh, Niemi, that's right.
Stanley Cup winner with the, ironically enough, with the Chicago Blackhawks. And Thomas Greece, who I believe got his first shutout of the season. He's a 6'1", 215-pound, like 27 years old. Young guy.
Yeah.
Getting a start. So a lot of firepower on that team. Flipping over to the Eastern Conference, looking a little bit more locally to us so we can speak a little bit more intelligently on it. Bruins, Devils, Lightning. The only team without a loss is the Bruins and the Devils right now. Tampa Bay has just one loss, and they beat the Flyers pretty handily, albeit on a back-to-back situation for the Flyers. Tampa Bay out to a hot start, and it looks like they're finally starting to figure things out. But again, you're 5 games into the season.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you can tell. Although, you know, it's a short season. I mean, if you go on a hot enough tear early enough, that's enough to carry you through the playoffs. Now, whether you do well in the playoffs is another matter. But these are the type of seasons where, you know, it seems like Tampa Bay can score a lot of goals in a short period of time and just ride that into a playoff spot or ride that into a division lead. I think you're going to see that this year. Normally, you'd see these types of teams kind of fade and go back to the pack where you expect them to go.
Hover around 500.
Yeah, you might not see that this year. Yeah. And they might get, you know, teams can ride those short seasons. They get a hot player. They stay away from injuries. It could happen. Like I said, watching that injury wire is going to be a good indication of where teams move.
So between Boston and New Jersey, the only two unbeaten teams in the East right now, which one are we still talking about next week?
I think we're going to be talking about New Jersey, believe it or not.
You know what's amazing about the Devils? Every year, all right, this is the year that the Devils finally, that they're done. Brodeur is going to hang it up. He's done. They just got rid of Parise. Where are they going to get scoring from? Blah, 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 blah. This is the year the Devils are finally starting to start rebuilding. And lo and behold, here they are. And we've probably been saying this for the last 10 years, probably.
Probably.
And somehow, mysteriously, they hang around, then they make a run in February.
They just won't go away.
And I know that you guys love that, being Flyers fans. They just kind of hang around, and all of a sudden they go on a tear and they fly under the radar. Marty Brodeur doing it again at 40 years old. He's probably going to play close to 38 to 40 games this season. And then the question is going to come around again. Is this it for Marty Brodeur?
I think, given that the run that went on last year, there's no reason to expect him not to look forward. As far as the organization is concerned, I can't imagine them kind of turning him away. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. So as long as he still wants to play. I mean, he hasn't shown, based on last year's playoff, he hasn't shown that he's deteriorating in his, you know, goal-saving skill, maybe his skating and, you know,
he's going to pull Dominic Hasek and play till he's like 45.
Hey, Hasek still wants to play.
Where are they going to fit him in?
Toronto?
See, that's not even right. Come on, we got Ben Scrivens. Leave us alone. He's a stud.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it just really is unbelievable, and that's a credit to their organization about how well that they draft and they let go Parise, they let him go.
Yeah, they even had changes of coaches over the years too, and still the style,
mid-season too.
Yeah, the style just continues.
It's that whole neutral zone trap from the first strike back in '95 that really just crushed the Detroit Red Wings in a sweep.
Is it wrong to wish ill of Lou Lamoriello?
I don't know.
I think that's the only way this team's going to change.
Look at it this way. It is the closest thing to an Eastern Conference dynasty is, if you look at all the teams in the Eastern Conference, you look at the most consistent team for the last 15, 20 years, you got to look at the Devils and say,
yeah,
that's it. I mean, Pittsburgh is doing well now, but where were they? Well, they had their run in the early 90s with
they went their roller coaster. They were up real high,
yep,
down real low, and then back.
Which
up
is what how they got Crosby, right, in the first pick overall.
First three number one picks, right?
Yep. Malkin, Crosby, and Fleury.
That's exactly.
And
right.
Guess who's still on those teams? Yeah, all three of them.
All three of them.
Islanders, not so much. Rangers, eh.
Now the Rangers haven't been consistent.
They're 500-ish.
Yeah.
And the Flyers have been good. But they also had those couple years where they were rebuilding. That one year where they just finished in the basement of the Eastern Conference, I believe that was 2002, 2003-ish, somewhere around there. That's right. I think that was Carter and Richards' rookie year,
yeah,
when they brought them up.
Right.
And then the Northeast, you got Boston, Ottawa, Montreal, Toronto, Buffalo. Nope. None of those, with the exception of Boston, who's been pretty good as of the last 5 years or so. In the Southeast, no. Just
right.
No. Just we'll stay away from that one. All right. Speaking of goaltending controversies, and we love these things because we all know this all too well, being in the Philadelphia area. The dueling goaltenders out west, 3,000 miles out in Vancouver, you have to wonder about the future of Roberto Luongo. You have Corey Schneider signed to a 3-year deal and is playing pretty well. And now you put Luongo in. And every time they put Luongo in, it seems like Luongo takes the loss. So what do you do out there?
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake there with GM is not getting rid of him. I mean, you cannot leave with that kind of, I guess because of the money, but with that kind of guy, you can't have, if you're going to make your decision and go with Snyder, then you got to get rid of Luongo. You can't have him there as a backup. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I think they want too much for him. They're trying to get a top draft pick, top player in return for him, and the market's just not out there for him. I mean, he had that Stanley Cup final where he just looked atrocious in a lot of those games. But from what I heard today was that the only thing they have a bidding war is to try to make Toronto bid between themselves. Just trying to get Toronto to bite on him, thinking he's going to go somewhere else and we need him and this is our guy. But to me, it's going to bring Vancouver down the longer they hold on to him.
I would agree with that. I mean, I would love to see him in Toronto, but what is Toronto going to have to give up to get Roberto Luongo?
Well, you know better than anybody. What do you think? Who on Toronto do you think is untouchable as far as trading?
Kessel.
No, I would agree with that.
Phaneuf.
Yeah, plus you signed him
and
a Grabowski. Lot of money.
Those are the three guys that I think are pretty much your untouchables. Everybody else, and it is what it is, but I think everybody in this league is expendable. At any for a guy like that, you're looking at a guy who is going to mainstay your goaltending situation. If you look at their two goaltenders right now in Toronto, you've got Jamie Reimer, who last year kind of towards the end of last season, had an okay breakout, I guess, for a rookie. And then Ben Scrivens, who's even younger than he is. So now you're looking at two guys who are essentially just glorified rookies, maybe sophomore, junior seasons.
Yeah.
And you're really not looking at too much more. You bring a guy like Luongo in there. Is that going to make them a Stanley Cup contender? No.
No.
But could you get
if you haven't
two or three
made the
years,
playoffs in a couple of years, then, you know, maybe you need to do that.
Maybe a change of scenery. He gets it, and I don't know if that's – I would think that the media out in Toronto is a little bit tougher to deal with than the media out in Vancouver. But because he's gotten so much negative hype because of his non-playoff performance, maybe a change of scenery will be good.
Yeah, to watch his contract, too. He's got a hefty contract, I believe.
I don't know how much he has left in his contract. He's 33 years old, initially drafted by the Islanders back in 99.
I think they signed him to that contract, the Islanders.
And then went to the Panthers, and the Panthers picked him up for 3 or 4 years and then went over to the Canucks, and he's been with the Canucks since the 06-07 season. So on average, he's about a 2.52 and a 9.19. You know, he's had 31 wins last season and 38 wins the season before that, 40 before that. So you're looking at a guy who's just who can put up great numbers, but you look at his playoff numbers.
Yeah, that separates him from the top goalies.
Last year, 0-2, 891 save percentage and a 3.59 goals against average. That is not going to win you a playoff series.
Nope.
Unless you have all the top scorers in the league on the same team. But will they move him? We don't know. And the I don't know. When is the new trade deadline? Is it the same trade deadline?
It's in April sometime.
It's later.
Than the usual in March.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but I just don't know how Vancouver can hold on to him too much longer. Because every night it seems like there's a storyline behind the game.
I guess.
They said last night, they lose last night? They gave up a goal in the last minute and all. Yep. Right away it was pointed at Luongo that, you know, if we don't have him here, maybe we win that game.
Sometimes I think that goaltenders, and I'm not just saying this for Luongo, I'm saying this goaltenders in general, get a bad rap. And, of course, the goaltenders let in soft goals occasionally, and that happens. We've seen that a lot here in Philly. Especially with their three goaltending tandem that they went with a couple years ago. But in order to get to that goaltender, you have to go through five other players. And that's the last line of defense. And I think sometimes the blame, like you said, Chris, goes solely on the goaltender. And I don't think that that's, in some cases, I don't think that that's really fair. I think Luongo does need a change of scenery. Selfishly, I'd love to see him in Toronto. But sometimes you see that. They're just a change of scenery and change of venue may help their career up. But I agree with you, Chris. I mean, I think it's one of those things where you can't hang on to them. They're going to have to get rid of them at some point. I think maybe they're waiting for a stock to rise a little bit and wait for that sense of urgency, that team that's making the playoff push, maybe get more trade value out of them. Who knows? Who knows? Some other signings just came across. More notably, PK Subban, who was holding out with the Montreal Canadiens, would you put him as an elite player?
No. I'm not ready to put Subban as an elite player. I'm not a big PK Subban fan.
And you shouldn't be, because that's kind of a little bit of a rivalry, wouldn't you say?
Well, he's one of those guys, if he's on your team, you love him, though.
Yeah, like a Zach Ronaldo kind of.
Yeah, I think he's a better player than Zach Ronaldo.
But what I mean, as far as an agitator.
Oh, agitator? Yeah, I would put him more in the realm of like a Dale Hunter type of agitator.
How about
a guy with
Ulf
some
Samuelson.
Skill. Or,
nice.
Remember Ulf Samuelson?
Ulf Samuelson. Well played. Going way back. They signed Montreal signs him to a 2-year deal, $5.75 million. Deal. So a good news for Montreal, because Montreal, believe it or not, is playing pretty well right now. Montreal 3-1 on this young season. They've won their last three games in a row. So maybe this is something that they need to get back to kind of shore up their team a little bit more. The other notable signing that has something to do with the Montreal Canadiens, but not so good news for them, Scott Gomez is now a member of the San Jose Sharks.
Oh.
And moves on out west, signed him to a 1-year deal out west. So Gomez, who was, I believe, holding out as well, out there has a chance to win another cup.
Yeah, I know there was a lot of talk that he was going to sit out the season. They weren't going to ask him to come to camp, and this is crazy stuff about that. And I guess it's all posturing on part of the teams, but can't imagine that someone would want to sit out entire season.
Well, I know with Gomez, from what I heard, is that his contract. And with that new buyout amnesty they have with the CBA, if he were to play for Montreal and get hurt, then they couldn't buy him out. So Montreal was prepared to let him sit all year, buy him out at the end of the year if they couldn't trade him. But I believe they had something where they could release him. And I think San Jose is taking a gamble, but I think it's a good gamble for him.
Given the way they started, it seems like the prime spot to get a guy like Gomez on your team, right?
Gomez only played 38 games last season, had 2 goals, 9 assists for 11 points, was a -9. With a guy like that, you know, obviously he's not a points per game kind of guy. He's more of a second, third liner kind of guy, but won a couple cups with the Devils, so you can't argue with that guy there. But not a bad pickup for the Sharks, who have already, as we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, that they are completely loaded offensively. So now you're going to add another guy onto that team who has talent and has experience in the room, as they say. And that'll pretty much wrap up our second period. for the most part. We're going to get off to a quick break. Get back from the break. Mr. Hoffman, are you going to stick around with us for our predictions segment?
I'll stick
around. Nice. He's going to stick around so we can all make fun of ourselves in June. We're going to have the third period predictions here on the Blue Line. And once again, if you'd like to get in on your predictions, you can drop us a tweet here at Knights Radio, KNIGHTS Radio. Shoot us a tweet and we will put your predictions. We'll voice your predictions next week and see how you stack up with our brilliant predictions, because we worked so well during the playoffs last year. So we'll get off to a quick break. When we get back from the break, third period predictions right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We're back right after this.
Man, there's nothing good on the radio anymore. It's the same thing on every station.
Hey, not every station's like that. I just started following At Nights Radio on Twitter. They tweet news about the Sterling community and they have their own radio station.
But what makes them different?
Well, the whole station is run by students.
That's awesome, and I love Twitter. I'm going to go follow At Nights Radio right now.
Follow At Nights Radio on Twitter to receive news about sports, music, and everything Sterling.
Sterling High School is currently seeking high school and college students with Red Cross lifeguard certifications who would be interested in working as a lifeguard this spring at Sterling North, also known as the former Voorhees YMCA. Students will be compensated at a rate of $10 an hour. Interested students should submit an application, which is available in the general office at Sterling High School during the hours of 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. or call 856-784-1287. That's 856-784-1287.
Attention all Sterling High School community members. If you are a resident of Laurel Springs, Magnolia, Hinella, Summerdale, Stratford, or if you have children who attend Sterling High School, the Sterling Board of Education invites you to enjoy the recently renovated state-of-the-art fitness center at Sterling High School. Hours of operation for the fitness center are as follows: Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5:30 a.m. through 7:30 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday, 7 p.m. through 9 p.m. If you are interested in using the fitness center, please send an email indicating what day and time you would like to attend with your name, address, and phone number to Mr. Matt Sheehan at msheehan@sterling.k12.nj.us or call 856-784-1333, extension 4701.
And welcome back to the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss, John Flacco, Chris Hoffman, prepared to give you our season predictions. Now that we're 5-6 games into the season, we waited a little while and we kind of made our picks a little bit more biased, see who's not starting well. So we did this last season at our very first broadcast on the Blue Line, and our playoff predictions were awful at best, I guess it would be a polite way to put it. I don't remember who we had for our playoff Stanley Cup winners, but I know that it was not New Jersey and it was not at Los Angeles. Yes. So that doesn't matter anymore. It's a new season, and now we can go over our Eastern and Western Conference winners, maybe some standouts and some things to we're going to look into a crystal ball here a little bit, and we'll start with our guest, Mr. Hoffman, who's joining us for the first time. Prepare. Do you want to defer and go to Flacco first?
I'm just going to give one prediction on who's going to be in and the prediction who's going to be out.
Okay, go for it.
Prediction who's going to be in and who I think is going to possibly win the Stanley Cup this year is Pittsburgh. I think if they keep Crosby healthy, their defense core is a good core. They keep their goaltending intact. The Flurry's got to play better than he played in the playoffs last year. I think they're the Stanley Cup winners this year. Who's going to be out, unfortunately? I think it's going to be our Flyers. I'm seeing a 2003 season or 2000 was a five season where they just couldn't get anything together. Timonen's going to be traded soon. Shed some salary at the end. And unfortunately, Brizgalov's going to be bought out at the end of the year. And I think we're going to go for a fresh start with a young core group of Flyers next year.
That is a bold prediction. Any reason for that? Is it because – now, would you have said this a week and a half ago? before the season actually started, or just because they're off to a,
I was skeptical.
a two and four start?
I was skeptical coming into the season, and just watching them early on, it's just I think they're sophomores this year. They played over their heads their rookie year, a lot of them. And I think they're expecting too much of them. I mean, losing Jágr, I didn't think it was going to be this big of a deal, but he just was some offensive punch that Giroux needed to produce some points on the power play. Losing Hartnell for an extended period of time, that's going to hurt. Mazzaros, that's going to hurt. The way they're playing, teaming in, and the way they're playing some of their players, all the minutes they're getting early in the season with all these back-to-back games, they're going to wear down. And I wouldn't even be surprised to see if Laviolette's not here with this next year, too.
Whew, man, firing like crazy. So you have no Flyers in the playoffs. You got the Pens representing the Eastern Conference, at least, in the Stanley Cup Final.
Yes.
And you have no more Briz. You've got no more Lavi.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Strong. Where does Briz go? Let's look deeper into that crystal ball.
I just think he's going to be bought out, and whoever's willing to take a chance on him, he could wind up back in Phoenix.
Oh, that's, wow.
He could go back to Russia. I wouldn't be surprised if he just goes back to Russia.
They have bears there. I know he's always talking about that, the whole...
The big bears.
The big bears, yeah. Anybody from the West? Anybody you like from the West? Because I know you got Pittsburgh and... Who else you got in the West?
I think St. Louis and Vancouver are going to battle to see who comes out of there to the finals.
I like it. I like it very well. So Hoff chimes in on his first broadcast here on the Blue Line and is going to go way out in left field, pardon the baseball reference, and go Pittsburgh and either St. Louis or Vancouver in the final, which I think would be a fantastic final. You put Crosby and Malkin up against the Sedin twins and everybody else out there in Vancouver. And is Roberto Luongo a member of the Vancouver Canucks? Hey, maybe Briz goes to the Vancouver Canucks. No, I'm just kidding. That would be a little bit crazy.
Did you hear that rumor?
No, I did not.
That was supposedly the Flyers are interested in Luongo, but they wanted the Canucks to take Brizgalov, and the Canucks said no.
Really? I was just making that up.
That was last week. That was the rumor going around. That was shot down by Vancouver. Absolutely no Brizgalov, they said.
Yeah, they don't. They got enough goalie problems. They don't want him.
Yeah, let's add a third number one goalie into the mix. Why not? Over to you, Mr. Flacco.
All right, I'm going to start in the West.
Go for it.
I'm going to give you my playoff teams. I like Chicago. Obviously, with the start at San Jose, it's impossible to keep them out. I like Edmonton. St. Louis is obviously going to be there again. Vancouver. I think Minnesota makes it. I think L.A. makes it. Right now, Anaheim is up there. But I think a team like Detroit will be the other team in. Anaheim not being in the top eight. As far as looking towards the playoffs, I see St. Louis, and I think you're going to see Edmonton there.
Wow.
I like a young team with a short season. I think you're going to see them go far. I mean, I don't think they'll have enough to win it, but I think you'll see them go pretty far in the playoffs this year. Now, in the East, Boston is a good team. They're a good young team. I really like Tampa Bay this year. I think they're going to go far. New Jersey is there. Ottawa has a scoring. I like young Winnipeg team. I don't see Montreal staying there. Pittsburgh is going to be there. I don't think the Islanders will stay there. I guess if I have to take one out, I'm going to take Montreal. I'll take out, and I'll take the Islanders out, and I'll put the Rangers in there, and I'll put the Flyers in there just making it. I think the Flyers are better than some of the teams that they're around right now.
So you're saying they're a bubble team?
They're a bubble team, but I think they make it. I think they have too much scoring power, too much scoring talent to kind of fall off. You'll beat up on some of the lesser teams, but they'll have problems with some of the better offensive teams in the league because of their defense.
Representing the East and the West in your Cup final, what do you got?
I'm gonna go Tampa Bay.
Wow.
In the East, I don't think Pittsburgh is set to go back there just yet. And in the West, I'm gonna say I wanted to say Edmonton, but I'm not ready to say them. I'm gonna think St. Louis steps up under a Hitch this year and makes it there.
All right.
With the goaltending that they have.
Interesting. So you're going Tampa Bay, St. Louis, in what all pretty much most television, major television markets are fearing.
Exactly.
As the worst possible scenario.
That's just pretty much.
Other than Tampa Calgary from a number of years ago back, and I believe that was 04. That is the television network's worst nightmare. Two small market teams for the most part. So you got Tampa Bay, St. Louis. Looks like everybody's on board with St. Louis. I like that. Now, it's, I guess it's my turn.
It's your turn. All right.
It's my turn, so I can't wait to go back in this in June and laugh at myself. My Eastern teams are pretty much the same as yours, and in no particular order. Boston, Tampa, Pittsburgh, the Rangers, Flyers. I got the Caps in there. And
really?
I do.
New coach? New coach. New setup?
I have them in there. I got New Jersey, and I also have Buffalo in there as well.
Ooh.
I've got Buffalo in there kind of making a little bit of a move. I don't think Ottawa's going to stay where they are. I don't think there's – I don't know. Plus, I hate Ottawa. Winnipeg
Ottawa's one goal away in overtime from going to that Eastern Conference final.
True. But
I think that's a Toronto bias right there.
It probably is. It probably is. Toronto does not make the playoffs again unless they pick up Luongo. I think they pick up Luongo, they squeak in as a bubble team, and they break the trend of not making the playoffs since the last strike.
So who's your out?
My outs are Ottawa, Winnipeg, Montreal, the Islanders, Carolina, who actually played very well last night, Toronto, and Florida.
Okay.
So
you have the Flyers as a bubble team, too.
I do. Boston and the Rangers on a original six Eastern Conference final.
Nice.
And I have Boston emerging from the East. How about that?
Year of Tuukka Rask?
I'm on board with Tuukka Rask. I'm on board with Tuukka Rask. And I think it's weird not having Tim Thomas in there.
Yeah, it is.
It's really, really kind of weird not having him in the fold there. But they have, again, all the key elements. You look at David Krejci.
Maybe he'll come back and play for Toronto.
Who knows? Why not? Over to the West, my in teams, and again, in no particular order, Chicago, San Jose, Vancouver, St. Louis, Minnesota, L.A., Detroit, and Dallas as my number eight team in there. I have a San Jose, St. Louis, Western Conference final, and I have a Boston, St. Louis Stanley Cup final. And I'm going to go.
So you like the blue too, huh?
I do. This is the year. If you look at the last maybe 5 or 6 years of teams that have won the Stanley Cups, Kings won their first cup. Boston won their first cup since God knows when. The Blackhawks were the team with the longest Stanley Cup drought. Now it's Toronto. Awesome. You look at those three teams. Anaheim won their first cup. Carolina won their first cup. Tampa won their first cup. I just think it's St. Louis's turn. They've been around for 25, 30 years. They had a rough beginning to this, the 2000s, and now they have all those elements. Got Ken Hitchcock being I think he's a great coach, and they have all the elements there. They had it there last season. They just didn't have the playoff experience, and they fell a little short. They ran into some team called the LA Kings, and who would have beaten any team on the planet in June of last year. So I just think they have all the elements together. I think it's going to be St. Louis's year. Let's go Blues. Let's go Blues. Like it?
I like it.
You like it?
Make sure you timestamp this. We'll have to go back. probably in about 6 weeks we'll be changing them all.
Yeah, tune in 3 weeks from now when we change all of our predictions.
Hopefully I'm changing the Flyers.
You know what? I can't see the Flyers not making the playoffs. With all the talent on that team, I just can't see them.
I see talent, but I see it every day. So that's why I think we're over-evaluating. We're
overexposed a little bit to it,
well,
you think?
Well, I just think like Braden Schenn, I'm starting to be a little concerned about how good he really is. Couturier didn't look good in his first few games. He's looked a little bit better recently, but he needs players around him to produce.
Yeah.
Other guys on the team, I mean, are expecting a lot out of Voracek, who looked okay. Simmons has played well.
Early.
He's probably going to have to replace Hartnell on that first line. And if they're looking for 25 goals, 30 goals on an 80-game season out of Simmons, I don't know if he's prepared to do that. And I think they're going on what they expect their guys to do, not what they've done in the past.
What's the Achilles heel for the Flyers? If we had to pick out one Achilles heel right now for the Flyers in one area, what would that area be? If you're looking at, if you're coaching against the Flyers, what are you focusing on their weak point is?
I think attacking their defensemen. I think they don't have enough puck moving defensemen back there. Pronger wasn't the fastest skater or slickest skater out there, but he knew how to control the puck. He knew how to slow the play down. He knew how to move the puck. Grossman, he can't handle the puck sometimes when he's skating by himself. Coburn, I think they're expecting him to replace Carl and then some, and I don't think he can even replace Carl. They signed Foster the day before the season starts. Bring up Gervais, is that his name?
Bruno Gervais, yeah.
He really wasn't cutting it, although he's looked like one of their better defensemen so far.
He was a junior player with, I saw this on, I believe it was Comcast Sportsnet. He was playing as junior with Max Talbot.
They're best friends growing up.
Yeah, they're like BFF growing up, so you have to think there's some kind of like chemistry. You also have the Shen brothers now
working
together.
I'm worried about that situation is that he's only there because of Talbot, maybe not because of his talent.
You got Mike Knuble coming back. He's got to be 40-something, right?
You think he's 38, but I think we're reaching a little bit too far with what we have. And I'm scared that Brizgalov's a question mark, but what's even more of a question mark if he's hurt? We're going to Leighton or Boucher, then they're really in trouble.
And Flacco, you mentioned the whole Boucher thing. You don't think he's going to get a sniff at all this season unless something really, really bad goes down?
Yeah, having known a little bit about, because he's a local guy, about people talking, Boucher really likes the organization, wants to be part of the organization, took a job going back to the AHL just to do it. I mean, he's not going to play anywhere else. So if he's got his family here, he wants to stay here, he's willing to kind of fill that role and just play as an emergency when needed. So I don't think they're looking at him. If they get to the point where Brizgalov is out long term, you'll see them go to try to get someone else. They're not going to depend on Leighton Boucher to carry this team. They're just stopgap, for Brizgalov to have rest to get through the season. I think their biggest the Achilles heel is the speed of the defense. They just cannot make plays because they're being outskated. As good as puck handler Teeminen is, he is slow. They've missed Mazzaros. He's not back to 100, and obviously he's hurt again. But last season he had a great regular season, and they missed that puck handling with him. I think you're going to see if Bourdon comes back, you're going to see the defense improve there with him. I think what you saw in the playoffs is that those defensemen played well when they had some chemistry. They were playing with the same person, which they really didn't have all the regular season last year. I think, Rob knows this. I think that Matt Carl is a stiff, and I don't miss him one bit whatsoever. You go back and you look at his numbers, and you look what he does for Tampa Bay this year, you're going to find that he's not going to be hard to replace. He turns over the puck. Now, it's still happening, granted, because they have a lot of slow players, but I think he was the benefit of playing with Pronger and playing with some really good players that made him look a lot better than he actually is.
So, by the way, his point total this season, it's better than all of the, not quite yet, but he's on pace to do quite a bit of good things. 5 games played, a goal, 2 helpers. He's a +1, and one of those happens to be a power play goal.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's probably playing a lot of power play on Tampa Bay.
Yeah. So, and he and I share the same birthday. How about that? Matt Carl, everybody.
That's the only good thing we can say about him. Or I could say about him.
He's a lot younger than me, though.
Yeah, I think the problem with Coburn is you saw him really step up in the playoffs last year and play well, and I think they're looking for that, and he hasn't gotten back there just yet. All the other guys you're talking about, I mean, Voracek, Couturier, these guys are really young players, and they just have to kind of figure it out. I think the real turnaround you're going to see, if there is any, is if Giroux, kind of stops disappearing in the middle of games. I mean, he has not made himself a presence in any game this year. I think once you see him kind of get back to that role that he belongs, then you'll see a difference in how they approach teams and approach games.
Speaking of big games coming up for the Flyers, just for all the local Flyer fans in the area, obviously tonight, Tuesday night, they are at the Rangers. They go back down to Washington on Friday night, and they are home for the next 3 games, Carolina, Tampa, and Florida. So of those 5 games, they got some pretty good the chance to pull out some pretty good wins here. The Rangers obviously going to be a tough game. Washington always a tough place to play. Carolina, you're going to host Carolina. That's a good sign. Revenge game against Tampa, and then Florida, who you just trounced 7-1, is going to come to the mm-hmm. Wachovia Center. So
I like to see that Tampa Bay game with right when out to the back to back game. See how well they can kind of adjust to. I think what happened with Tampa Bay is they were expecting Tampa Bay from last year, and that didn't happen. They got kind of jumped on them.
And they had the chance early in the game. They had that one back-to-back penalties that they power play. It just didn't produce. And that's when I think you're talking about Giroux. That's where he needs to step up on the power play. He's just not commanding that power play right now. I'm not sure he's waiting for other guys to make plays, and he's just not trying to make the plays. Seems like he's sitting along the sideboards, just going for that one-time shot. Still forcing passes a little bit here and there. But, yeah, that was a situation.
I think he needs to watch himself on the video of the first shift against Pittsburgh in game six from last year in the playoffs, because he's not that. He's not doing that.
You sent that to me, like, the first day of the season, you sent that to me. He's like, here's Roos' first shift against the Pens. And I was like, wow, yeah, that was a heck of a series, though. And they replayed that during the lockout, because that's all they had to put on the NHL Network was replays of series and whatnot. But that was a pretty good series. And that's our prediction section. Hoff, you've got Pittsburgh and either St. Louis or Vancouver. We all like St. Louis in the West, which is kind of nice. Flacco
means,
has
that
Tampa.
Means St. Louis will crash and burn.
Yeah,
the first
that
round.
Means that they missed the playoffs by like 10 points. Flacco likes Tampa Bay coming out of the East, and I like the Boston Bruins coming out of the East. And again, we'll revisit this in about 2 or 3 months and laugh at ourselves. And you can too. If you would like to put in your predictions, feel free to shoot us an email at wshs.radio@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at Knights Radio, KNIGHTS Radio. Shoot us a tweet with your predictions, and we will not only give you a shout out, but we will you have an opportunity to laugh at us, because I'm sure your predictions will be better than ours. And that'll do it for this edition of the Blue Line. Hoff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having
me. Hey, anytime. You're more than welcome. Every Tuesday here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Reed broadcast will be Wednesday night at 6 o'clock as well. And then after Wednesday night, it will be archived on the Sterling website on the left-hand side underneath Sterling Radio Podcast. Flacco, thank you again for joining us, as usual. Another edition of the Blue Line.
Always a pleasure.
In the books. This is number 11, not number 12. This is number 11 in the books for the Blue Line. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Again, tweet us over at Knights Radio. Otherwise, hope you enjoyed listening to the Blue Line. And once again, you're listening to WSHS, Sterling High School Radio. We'll see you next week.